Hey everyone, in this AB Talk special regarding false motivation, we tackle the idea of motivational speakers. Does motivation work? Does it fail? Is it sustainable? I think I'm going to leave the rest for you to watch. I hope you enjoy it. And if you want to see the video, it's on YouTube.
So we have today, I'm going to introduce everybody. Andrea, confidence coach, which I find a very unique title, and presenter, neuromotivational speaker. Amar is an author. He didn't want me to add more,
because it's
but
the
there is more, Yani. So I think people will find out if they like you or they have a crush on you. I wanted to start with Amar. Like, bro, I feel sometimes you're too much. You know, you're too happy or too giddy. Like, there are no problems in life. You know, he put up that fund, but is it a fake happiness, you know? Noor, I didn't expect me to come to you.
No.
Too quick. Like, what is it? Is it you taking advantage of the hijab? Is it you taking advantage of your eyes or your beauty or acting like you're better than the rest, like you're above them, right? Mm. And Andrea, you're very well spoken. You know how to put words together, but are you feeding off weak people who don't have the confidence? Are you taking advantage of them, but you're just making money off them, but you know very well inside they'll never reach anywhere? So anyways, this is the shit that you're going to hear behind your back, in front of your face. It's not my opinion, but I wanted you for a moment to feel what it is people are obviously saying about you. Some people will dare say it to your face. Some people will say it behind your back. Some people will talk about generic issue with people who are positive and they just don't like it. It rubs them the wrong way. But I wanted each one of you, because I know how people talk, not only behind my back, but about behind a lot of people's backs. So in short, what is each of yours? I'll start with Amar. What's your response to somebody who'd hit you with remarks like that?
First, I actually smile back, because it is the truth at home, and they can call home, check with my parents or my mom or my sisters and my brother. I've always been smiling. I am always like this because I'm not going to say that I don't have problems or I don't face issues and stuff daily in my daily life. However, you know what? There's that quote that says life is, just 10% of what happens to you, and 90% is how you react to it. So whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I always respond, number one, with a smile. When I approach any situation with a smile, first of all, even if it's a bad situation, it calms it down. Like, it reduces the severity of how big it is. Let's say if it was an accident, I smile. And the first thing that I'll ask the person, I'm like, are you okay? And then I'll talk about the situation. Okay, how do we solve this problem? So for me, I think the reason I'm happy as well is because I think there's so many things that happened to me in a younger stage of my life that now I don't think anything can get any worse. So many things, from getting stabbed 4 times, from having my whole back with titanium plates, from being fired 2 times, from being demoted, from being divorced.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, I have a lot of lists. So I'm like, dear God, what's the worst that can happen? Give it to me. But people, when they see me, nobody assumes that. They'll either think, oh, he's got a silver spoon, he's Emirati, so he's got everything or whatever. And they don't know half of it.
But do you think, like, okay, you said something. You said, in front of my mother and family, I'm smiley. But are you smiley at home alone when nobody's there? Are you happy when nobody's there?
You know what? Honestly, I am. The reason I am is because I know who I am. And that's number one. Because I think that there's a lot of people who don't understand their purpose. And I love that quote by Mark Twain. It says, there are 2 important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you'll find out why. I know my purpose. And every single day I wake up, I'm always able to fulfill my purpose. Every single day I make somebody smile. Even if it was 5 years today at the chalk.
So that's the purpose?
All the time. Yes, okay. Sir. From day one. And I'm doing it every single day. Some people find it annoying. Some people can't deal with it. They can't stand.
I think, like, Amar, some people will feel that you're in denial. Yani, they'll say, how can somebody be happy all the time? It's not even normal.
Yeah, I know they say that. But I always say, like, okay, why can't the question be the opposite? Why can't it be the opposite? Why can't we always be happy?
Always, and always is a tricky word, though.
And I'll tell you something. Can I tell you something? One of the things, so for me, I respond a lot. For me, one of the things that resonates with me is religion. And I love one verse, which I also used in my book, the translation. You know, in English, when we say, it's all fun and games, we say that, it's all fun and games. There's a verse in the Quran in Arabic, it says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعْبٌ وَلَهُ.
No.
But literally, God says, life on earth is all fun and games. So why in the world are we so worked up about anything? Mm. If you think about anything that seems to be a problem. Like, for example, if someone says, oh, you just started. Like, people say this behind your back. And so what? You know, for me, I think, wow, you know, I'm doing good. My family is healthy. I have all these things that I think about. There, so many good things are happening in my life. For example, I love this country. This is my country. We're safe. Look at what's happening around the world. Black Lives Matters and God knows what. Thank God we don't have that stuff in this country. Mm. So I think of those things and I'm like, what is there to be mad about? And Anas, I'll tell you one thing. For some reason, I have a much bigger view in life. Like, I don't see a personal problem as a problem. I see climate change as a problem. I see poverty as a problem. I'm grateful to God that I was able to travel so many places. And I'm like, you want to know what a problem is? Imagine you see a pregnant woman. This happened to me in Mumbai. I was there for a wedding and I saw a pregnant woman naked giving birth on the street. You see that, then you tell me if you have a problem. So this is what a lot of people sadly don't experience or don't have. And that's why they envy somebody who smiles all the time. And I tell them, you know what? Be green with envy.
Noor, if you remember what I told you.
I kind of do. I do. Because it hit home. Because when you said that, I felt like I was reading one of the negative comments on one of my videos. Or one of the negative things I hear from people is, are you using your hijab or your looks, for example, to gain a following or to pretend like you're ideal and tell people what to do? And that's the negative aspect that I always hear. And that's the, you could say, basic of the negative that I get. My answer to that, if you can remind me, like, are you asking me, does this affect me? Are you asking
me? Not affect you. If somebody labels you with these things, that you're taking advantage, whether of clothing, being Muslim, beauty, acting like you are... Because you have a very... I did a quick research and I saw the way you conduct yourself on camera has a certain demeanor.
Mm.
And I know how people can have different angles of seeing you. Either they'll say, wow, that's admirable, a strong woman, has a good, you know, posture and she's talking. Some people say she's talking down at me as if she's figured out life.
Okay.
So these are random hits that I collected together and I hit you with them. But they can be...
I want to take the opportunity to say that in the process of me, let's say, creating my content to form or to help someone, before that 1 week of me creating a video, Let's say I present a certain piece of information or create content to help someone. In that week of me creating that content, I am learning it word by word. I am growing by it word by word. So I learn my content before I present it to others. It helps me grow before I'm helping others grow. Now I know that it may seem like I have it all figured out, but I try to maintain that side of me in front of people to show that no, I have sides that sometimes I need help. Sometimes I'm not aware of something and I research it. I need to be motivated myself about something. And I'm telling you, I hate waking up late. I've been, for example, being such a night owl. I need to fix that. I show that side of me sometimes, but I also need to maintain that, you could say, path of being able to help someone grow with the content that I create. And
you'd like to grow with them
Yes. So
while you're learning, you're teaching.
Yes.
But on the point of taking advantage of features or a hijab.
You mean to build a following?
Do you think you are taking advantage of what you have?
I mean, realistically speaking, if I wanted a fast growing following, I would have gotten one much faster with makeup tutorials, mm-hmm. much faster with hijab tutorials, with fashion blogging. Entertainment is much faster in growth.
Yeah, fair.
So if that was my purpose, and I sometimes we have to get in touch with our intentions and ask ourselves. And I do that a lot just to make sure that I renew my intentions. And I say, and I ask myself, what is my true intention? And when I find that I work extremely hard to come up with certain content that's not repetitive, never heard before, information that's new for people to learn from, then I know then, no, my intentions are not for a growth of a following. It's deeper than that.
Your thoughts?
All my life, I fought to become who I am today. Similarly, like your story, Omar, I had all the wrong things happening to me. From day to when I was born, I had low immunity issues, so I was in and off the hospital up until 6. I was having different colds. My mom learned how to give me injections. When I was 8, I lost my father in a car accident. Then I became my sister caretaker. In high school, like most teenagers, I was severely bullied and made fun of because I had facial hair and a big nose and short hair. I was confused myself. Was I a tomboy or a girl? So I had very, very hard identity issues. And I was constantly dreaming of a day when I can feel poised, feel feminine, and secure in who I am. So for me, I got the opposite of what I have today, and I had to work and swim and fight till now, till 36, to walk strong, to be secure in my words, and to feel comfortable to be this person, be a confidence coach, be a presenter, and then pass it on to others as well. So if anyone feels or has a thought of, oh, these coaches, they take advantage of our insecurities, it's not true. People who have chosen the path of personal development, most often they have gone through a very, very, very painful lifestyle and journey. And those hurdles, those moments have shaped them. And being better was their only option.
Mm. Okay. So this industry, you have millions of people subscribing to newsletters, to training workshops, to podcasts, to watching TEDx videos. There are millions of people, and millions of them are still miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of them, they're still probably one square ahead, not even two, or half, or zero, or maybe minus, because of many reasons. I don't want to say my only opinion. Why do you guys think that motivation has failed for so many millions?
Because they consume the information and they don't apply it, number one. We forget 80% of what we consume, and we have become now FOMO, you call it FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Yeah. So because we are surrounded by a matrix and a sea of information, I myself, in the last 2-3 months, I had to unsubscribe to everything because I felt I was invaded by the dinosaurs. Like, 5 rules how to make more money, learn how to make, me too, I felt like it's just too much information coming our way in our WhatsApp, in our Instagram, in our emails. And people who feel the same, they have to take really a few steps back and understand that it's so easy to consume the information, but you have to get a mentor, a coach, a group, and start to embody
well,
those qualities.
Andre, do you think, like, the thing is, okay, I agree with you. You teach, but they're not applying or implementing, so you have a short circuit. It's not going full circle, right? However, are these motivational speakers not teaching them also how to apply, or can it even be taught? It's a mindset. Maybe you have to be born with it. I don't know.
Can I answer?
Or any of you? Yeah. Interrupt each other. Fine. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. If you don't mind. Yeah. Okay. I think the answer to that is motivation is temporary. It's a trick. So if someone, if we're talking about the same kind of motivation, you're
correct.
Hearing a TED talk of someone telling you they went from 0 to 100, they were poor and became rich, waking up the morning is a key to success. If you're hearing all that stuff, that kind of motivation, the ideal, the general word of motivation, that is a trick. It's someone who listens to that is tricking themselves into taking action. Someone who listens to that is thinking in the moment, that I'm about to take action, and it gives them a spike of motivation, but then really soon after, that motivation dies down. That's the reason why it's failing. But the real kind of motivation, something that will create motivation and not just lead to it, is content that is informative, awareness, and something that gives you tangible methods. 1, 2, 3. What's going on in your body, psychologically, physiologically, when you feel a certain way? What is the root cause of you procrastinating anyways?
Mm-hmm.
Not stop procrastinating because it's not good for you. You can do it. That stuff is useless to me, in my opinion. It's just a spike of motivation, and it's just temporary and tricky. But and that's what I try to do so much with my content, is to have statistics, information, raising awareness, facts that people can take, analyze, form, have a perspective, a story that people can learn from, take a moral from. That stuff is tangible.
Yeah.
But the motivation that we see in videos and talks, that's temporary. That's
a quick fix. And it seems like they watch the video. Like we were just talking about also The Last Dance, how we enjoyed it.
Exactly.
But a lot of people get overexcited.
Yeah.
They want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go after a week, they're like, okay, I don't have that feeling anymore. And I need another fix.
Exactly.
I need another YouTube video. And I need another documentary.
You know, if you think about it, motivation, and I agree with Noor, and it's a quick fix, right? And it's like temporary. But at the same time, like, you see how when you take a breath of air to breathe, it's sort of like short, and then you got to do it again and again. Mm. It's the same thing with that motivation, like for you to seek it out and everything else. Because if you think about it, if it was not a motivational talk, even going to the gym, how many people, there's not a single person that I know who goes to work out that doesn't get like deep motivated or unmotivated to just go to the gym.
Mm.
You always constantly need that. And this is exactly on her point.
This is a good point.
Sure.
When you see people, and a word just popped in my head and I'll say
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead.
And you mentioned the example of the gym.
Okay.
So many gym friends that get excited, yalla, 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 mm-hmm. membership, even they'll go for the upgrade.
Yeah.
After 3 weeks, you're lucky if 3 weeks, he's out.
Yeah.
The question is, when that other person who's not motivated anymore, but is still going, why is he disciplined? Where does he get that discipline?
Because that guy knows himself very, very, very well. And also, there are 6 emotional drivers that drive all humans, right? They are very well known. Tony Robbins speaks about them in all his seminars. You have the first emotional drive of feeling loved and feeling belong, that you belong.
Hmm.
Then you want to contribute. You want to grow. You need variety, adventure. You need security. And there is one more. So variety, contribution, security, and significance. Like in Michael Jordan, for example, we were also talking about the show. He has a very strong driver, emotional driver. So imagine an engine of a car.
Yeah.
Every person has these 6 emotional drivers, but for you, some of them are stronger than in me.
Correct.
For example, for me, the emotional driver of significance, of being a strong name in the personal development arena, in the presenting arena, is very high. Contribution is very high. Hence my social media engagement.
So these are the main drivers for Andrea.
For example.
Yeah.
And I invite everybody at home to sit down, reflect, and understand which one from these 6 are stronger. Because it's easy if I go with my girlfriend to the gym to say, okay, I will just subscribe because it's an external motivation. I feel like, why not? I'm in
peer
a good
pressure,
mood.
Peer pressure, excitement.
Peer pressure, excitement. But when you are getting in touch with yourself, when you do your meditation, when you do your prayer, when you do your 10 minutes of sitting with yourself, and you start to feel, I put on weight, I'm not happy with my energy, you're now getting in touch with what you need, and you go to supply that to yourself.
Yeah.
So motivation is to me like an oasis where when you need some water, you go and you drink that. You either, because there is always something that you take from a book.
So.
Some books, mashallah, they are very thick, and maybe you remember one line or there is one story. It's the same if Omar or Noor or you speak, because your talks are amazing. I watch your talks when you speak to students. Maybe one student will remember one particular story or one phrase.
Yes.
And that will become their mantra.
Mm.
So...
Your point on... You wanted to say something about motivation.
No, I mean, I was just building on also on one of the things that... Now, also, I'm glad that Andrea mentioned this as well about the six different factors. And also... Again, when Noor mentioned it's your biological and physiological, there are things like this to consider. When you see somebody that's demotivated, it could be trauma. It could be, again, even if we use the example of the gym, you could be eating well, you could be doing everything right at the gym. But one of the biggest issues, and you know this, you don't get enough sleep, you can forget about building muscle. Because actually, that's the time when you're building the muscle.
Mm.
So there are different contributing factors that someone has to take into account to know why is this person not motivated anymore.
Meaning,
so there's all of these things together. Yeah.
Meaning their engines are not running as strong.
Exactly.
Because the machine, the body is not strong.
You know, Andrea, I was just reading an article before the sit down. And they explained the trend of the no sleep people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I relate because I don't sleep much.
Night hour.
But it became a habit of mine. I don't, maybe my body doesn't need the 8 hours. I do 5, 6, I'm okay.
Perfect.
But yeah. Then you have books that, I don't want to name titles, but there is a book about the people that wake up early, the night owls.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be like gathering all humanity in one basket as if one size fits all.
There is no shortage.
The issue is, coming back to the point of sleep. So there was a trend by different celebrities and inspirational people that say, you know, work. When somebody's sleeping, I'm working. When somebody's eating, I'm working. And the guy who wrote this article, his name was Mark Mayhew. Very cool article that I'm going to refer to a few points today. And he said, I tried that for 4 years. I was working my ass off. And it was the worst 4 years of my life because I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
I got sick. I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
So the idea, you just said that, you know, to get muscle, you need to sleep.
Yeah.
You said this is your, you know, holy grail. This is your body.
Exactly.
And this, a lot of, you know, teenagers will watch this like, Anas doesn't sleep much. Or Noor, yesterday she slept only 4 hours. I should do that. But you have to take care of yourself.
The big problem that we have today is that this matrix of information, because I just see it like the matrix, it's so much that it dilutes your own internal voice. You know, when you said, let's talk about motivation, I was like, I looked up in my balcony, you know, I saw a bird doing a nest. And I'm like, who motivates that bird to make a nest? It's instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please go back to our instincts and listen to our body,
yes,
ourselves,
yeah,
the infinite That's intelligence exactly. that runs through us, that creates worlds?
Yep.
And stop the WhatsApp, stop the group, stop the Facebook, stop everything and go quiet for one day. Don't speak with anybody. Ask yourself, what do I want? Do I want to get married? So many women my age, 36, oh my gosh, I'm not married. Do I want a baby? Do you even know if you want a baby or not? Everybody has. So what is your voice? So that's where motivation can be a bit...
It's a very good point. I was the other day, I was being hard on myself and I'm like, no, I have to not miss a day of workout because I just got in this trend. I'm not a gym junkie at all. I used to do like twice
that's
a week.
Now
I do like 9 to 5.
But the consistency gives you dopamine, but so that's good.
Yeah, but what my point was, somebody told me, I don't remember who, he's like, Anas, you're tired today. Listen to your body, not because somebody else is working out, you should be working out. Listen to you, maybe sleeping today, just resting. Okay, I don't want people to be lazy, but that listening, my point is the listening to your body, listening to what I want,
to your
what
best,
suits me.
To your best friend, don't laugh at me, please. But in the morning, I hug myself and I actually kiss my shoulders.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to thank this body for running perfectly.
Mm.
And I even connected my heart and I thank my heart. The car is switched off and on. The camera is the same. The car, the computer. But this,
It's a miracle.
This,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you wake up in the morning and you connect to the heartbeat. When I'm down, I listen to on YouTube to the heartbeat. And I highly recommend everyone to try that because it connects you back to your inner intelligence.
Mm. Nuri, you've been listening. Yeah,
yeah, I've been listening because I feel like everything that you all have been saying is so great. And I'd like to sum it up with awareness is a weapon. Once you're aware, because we are intaking information all the time, but how aware are we? Yeah. How aware are we of our needs, of what's going on in our body, of what we need psychologically, of the perspective? It's mainly about awareness. Mm. Once we're aware, it's different than how if we have information or if we have education. It's not as useful if we're not aware. Exactly. We need to be aware.
I love that. And one of the quotes that I like to use a lot is, you know, when it comes to awareness, is there was this quote by, I think her name is Anne Leibovitz or something. She's like a photographer in New York. And she said, before you speak, think. Before you think, read.
Yeah.
So the only way you'll be aware about things, you need to read, research, whatever, you know, try to understand it. Mm. So this is how you build that knowledge, and, you know, knowledge is power. And then you won't have this falling out of motivation from whatever, you know? But really start from yourself.
My son today asked me, he gave me a nostalgic moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hard on him today because he did something. And then I was writing an email or something, and he sat next to me. And he's like, can I talk to you instead of play with the kids? I'm like, yeah, sit down. And he's like, talk to me about ego. And he's 10.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, I told him there's a book I read recently called Ego is the Enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I made just a sales marketing pitch. Anyways, so, it was so interesting that this generation is so aware.
Yeah.
And he's a thinker, so it kind of gave me, like, I'm okay, I know where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. And we talked and talked, and I was thinking how you were talking about awareness, that by talking about these things, I always have this dilemma. Is there too much knowledge that it confuses people even more and make them more lost?
Mm. Yes.
Or you have to utilize this knowledge in a smart way to see what's applicable. It's confusing because I don't know about my generation. We have to go to the library.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Now, like, I don't even know why people don't use Google. But they don't.
True. Anas, if you go to a buffet, there's an hour buffets. I'm not talking about buffets in the West. I'm talking about Emirati buffet, okay?
Yeah,
like
our
part of the world. Mm. Please.
You're confused.
Anyways, in our buffet, you have everything. You go to a hotel in a five-star resort, there's the Asian stations, this is everything, right?
Mm.
But you know what's good for your body. You know what's good for you. Like, you pick and choose. Like, you know this is what's good. So the same thing with information.
Yeah.
You pick and choose. The same thing with people. You pick and choose.
It's a perspective.
Who you want to be. Exactly. It's a perspective. So that's, for me, if it was for people out there, like, how do you filter the information that's right for you?
That's so important. The funny question, a point on the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
So my uncle years back told me, when you go to a buffet, don't start putting things while you walk. Take a tour.
Yeah. There you
look
go.
At everything, then exactly. Think of because what happens? You put
perfect.
Biryani, you're like,
yeah. Hey, now I want shawarma, the pasta.
Shawarma.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly you have like this, and like, I'm not gonna eat it. It's
there you
too
go.
Much.
Yeah.
And that's why travelers have the most the widest perspective and the most correct, because they've seen it all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think to expand your mind, you need to travel a lot.
Yeah.
And I read something that said, don't ask somebody what they studied, ask them how well traveled they are.
There you go. Yeah.
Then you have a good perspective of how open-minded.
And how well they listen.
I'm sorry?
And how well they listen.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because you have those who are just so stubborn on their mindset and perspective.
True.
And they think that they're listening to other people's perspectives, but they're so keen on their perspective being right that they don't build on it.
Until they get sick,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid, or they lose something very, very important, and that's how we get awakened. That's how we start to say, "Huh, I have to look that way. I was always looking this way."
Yeah,
and that's how you will.
You know, the question I like is the one by Sigmund Freud. Tell me about your mother.
Powerful.
Mm. I mean,
really,
Anas,
me
I know
too.
You. Your mom's a legend. Like, she is a living legend. We all love her. She's all our moms.
Correct.
For people who
Mama
don't know, she is also your mother.
And we see
but
her in
yeah,
you, yeah.
That's the thing. And for me, again, even when it comes back to motivation and everything else, I always remember my mother.
Me too.
She's a rock. She's a queen. She's been my motivator. I always say it. And even in my Instagram, first thing it says, you know, son of a queen. That's
yeah,
who I am.
That.
This is number one. Before author, I want to edit that. It's son of a queen. Because she, if it wasn't for her, like even this motivation for her, I mean, to raise us, and me and my siblings, and always, my mother always said to me as a kid, you're going to be successful. She always planted that. We were in a two-bedroom apartment, three of us, in my, me and my two, my sister, my brother in one room, and my parents in the other. It was a very small place we grew up in. And my mom, like, she knew I wasn't happy. Like, I wanted to just, like, be something big. And she always told me that. Every single day, she would tell me this. And it, really, seriously, exactly what they say, when behind every man, success is a woman. Absolutely, 100%. And if you have somebody who tells you this every single day, like, this is what motivates me. This is what keeps me going. And I remember that. And I can see it with you. And I studied with your brother in university. We were in class. And I could see the reflection when I met your mom. Where he got, where Ma'ad got from, you know?
Yeah, my mother did a great job in building a strong infrastructure.
Yeah.
We're all generally, I would say, confident. But you reminded me of why also I brought up the Majid story with the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to tell him, I was trying to give him a good representation of why, because it's difficult to describe ego. I said everybody has an ego.
Yeah.
Either it gets the best of you, or you get the best of it, right?
Yeah.
But I told him, look at the person who thinks who does he knows it all, his ego is huge. Khalas, I don't want to know. I've learned. I'm good. I'm successful. But then you see people who are so successful are still reading a book a week, and you're like, why are you reading? Because he knows whatever he knows is this much. There's always a way to evolve and improve and get better. So.
The relationship with our mother will reflect in absolutely every other relationship that we have.
Yeah.
Do you believe only mother or also father?
Of course, both. Hmm. But since we are connected with the umbilical cord with our mother, the way she... So the people I work with, very often, they are deficient in motivation and in love. They don't feel loved. And it's because they've had certain incidents in their childhood where they've taken a screenshot of I'm not loved, I'm not important, because the mother had to work hard. And to a very, to a certain extent, that has been my case as well. When my father passed away when I was 8, my mother had to make ends meet, and I was very often home alone, going to school with the key around my neck, coming back, doing my homework, taking care of my sister. And it felt very lonely. And then later in my relationships, I was constantly seeking, can we be friends? Please, until of course I started to do the real work, cry the tears, write the journals, and realize that I was begging for love unconsciously because I thought my mom didn't love me. Now we speak 4 times a day. She's also a queen. I changed the way I perceived her because I had to do the work. I became aware, like Noor said. Then my relationship with men, my relationship with money and with work, changed 360 degrees, because I got in touch with what every human needs to feel loved unconditionally by the woman who brings them on this planet. So when I do presentations and people feel not secure, sometimes it's because they don't have security that's supposed to have been there when they were little. And sometimes when you work on fear of public speaking, you realize that actually it's a spiral of many other fears or insecurities that have to be addressed, and then they start the work.
But Andrea, what would you tell somebody watching who didn't have that supportive mother or support, which we're fortunate to have?
You find a surrogate.
Is there? Do they have hope?
Yes, you find a surrogate. I have two friends who are foster kids, and they are also in the motivational arena. I have to say that I'm realizing just now, many people who come to personal development, they had their void, then they had to fill it, and now they want to have this constant exchange with other people because they also want to feel more connected with people because they didn't have that connection.
Yeah.
But it's healthy. They just want it. They want it badly. They want it more than other people. And people who didn't have what they've been raised in foster places, or they don't have a good relationship at all with the parents. Yes. Maybe alcohol, maybe abuse. I invite them to find a surrogate, to find a tribe. They can build their own family. They came into this life. God doesn't make mistakes. There is a reason for which they are here right now. Now, go to people, to places who have, mashallah, so much love to give. And they are. There is a infinite...
I also want to tell those people that have that privilege and that blessing of a mother that most probably knows their purpose before they know it, and build boundaries. The mother knows your purpose before you know it somehow. It's crazy.
Not always.
Not always, but there may be that privilege, and the child may be building, or the son or the daughter, some kind of boundary, and they're not allowing that blessing to help them with their path and make it easier. And for sure, my mom found my purpose before I found it. If it wasn't for my mom, I would have probably attempted to be a medical lab technician or a pharmacist or something like that, because I honestly wanted to be like that until she was my life coach ever since I was young, and always pushing me to public. She saw something, so always pushing me to public talks and speeches. And I didn't understand why at first, and then I grew up and I was like, oh, this is why. So you knew before I did.
She was your angel in that way. She was your guide.
It's a dilemma though. Like, I've sat with so many achievers, let me call them, right? Whether they are professional athlete or whatever. And some of the stories is like, my father used to drive me hundreds of miles just to make sure I go to training. Yeah. So the father in that story knew this kid has something.
Yeah.
He might not know it. I will make sure I'll take a part-time job just to make sure I'll invest in this. But a lot of the times also, especially I would say, maybe actually globally, I wouldn't say only Asian Arab world, but the parents' definition of success or things that they didn't achieve, they will implement it and force it onto their kids.
Yes, that could be a problem,
kids. So that's a very selfish and full of ego approach where I failed, he should make it. I didn't get a degree, he should. Or I got a degree, he has to be the same as me. So then the definition of success that they have is forced on two children, which is very wrong. You were lucky that your mother didn't do that. My mother didn't.
Like I said, it's
that.
A blessing at the end of the day.
So sometimes, it's tricky.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not a general rule.
My mom just said, I carried you in my stomach for 9 months and you owe me. So everything you do, you owe me for the rest of your life. Yeah. So she makes sure
that's a very Arab mother.
Yeah, you're gonna take care of me till the day I go away.
So
that's a motivator, like by itself, like knowing.
But that makes you feel guilty too.
No, well, like it is what it is. She said it, and it's true. And then when I think about it, do you know what now? When I see, for example, my sister Aida with her kids, I'm like, oh my God, they definitely owe her. Like going through.
But I talked about this. I said a lot of Arab mothers would tell their kids, mother, all mothers, they would say this everywhere. Like, you know how much I
spent. I carried you for 9 months.
I didn't even choose to be here. You decided to bring me.
How am I guilty?
Yeah, it's a bunch.
She was like, no, it was my decision. I'm like, actually, you can.
It was nature.
It was your decision.
It was Luther Vandross's music.
Exactly.
I know that we are all feeling very grateful.
Yeah.
Because you said it to our mothers especially. But do you feel that there were moments in your lives when you were teaching them many things as well?
Yeah.
And you were the teacher?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And a controlled ego mother learned from her kids.
My mom phrases this.
You learn from each other.
It's 100%.
It's a dual thing.
100%.
Like today, if I sit with my kids, they know things. I don't even know how to play these games and things, but I quickly learn because I'm open to it.
I want to say something about motivation. It's going to be quite short. When my father passed away, I was 8. My mom was, 36, 37. Emotionally, she was disabled. She was not functioning. She was hysterical. She was crying. If she was driving, she was shouting. So it's been many, many years when I was exposed to trauma, to fear, to aggression, and there is some emergency. I was in emergency. So it's only now, later, that I found very good doctors who explained to me that even physically, my body acts like it's an emergency. And then I had to take all this medication, like herbal medication, natural, to really bring balance in my body. But also, I was able to express and release these feelings to my mom. And it's been now 3 years since she's also doing a lot of spiritual work, and we talk and we hug and we understand each other. So I found that bond, that connection that, as I said earlier, every single person needs. So every child needs to feel that love, and there is never too late. There is always hope to truly feel that connection, that when you feel it in your system, it will make you run the marathon. It will make you do that pitch. It will make you build your family, because that's where I think God fuels us with even more power, feeling that love from our mother.
I read something also in the Mark's article. I really liked the article. It was very short, but very rich. And he said, he called something the leaky bucket syndrome. Mm-hmm. And he said, people that are going to these workshops and these lectures, they're a bucket with holes. Yeah. So they go there, you fill it with water, you get excited, but it's leaking. And the holes represent fears, insecurities, doubts, which I would say are very important characteristics of people who are not able to move forward in life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They have these things. Yani, Nido's video yesterday on Instagram, Nido's my best friend, he mentioned how you are your own self-critic. So you'll say, wallah, I should open this business. And then you say, la, wallah, it will fail. Nobody even told you it would fail. You just killed yourself. Like, nobody, you didn't even tell somebody the idea. And the idea is, these guys probably have it in multiples. Mm. That's why deep down, because Andre, it seems you talk a lot about the biology and psyche. If you really go and sit with yourself and really think, why am I even afraid? Mm. Why am I not? Because then you meet somebody who goes, we should go to Italy. Mm. And you're like, really? Yeah. I'm not talking about impulsive people. Mm. Maybe you say, we really need an adventure. And he's not impulsive. I'm not talking he's going to pack tonight. But he'll do it. Mm. He'll take action. He'll book a nice camping trip. You'll think about it. You'll do the research. And then somebody will say, I'll go to Italy for 20 years. Huh, he went now, Allah, and inshallah next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you always procrastinating?
It's fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real.
False evidence
appearing real.
So my point of this intro is these people that are going to these workshops and trainings, and something that I find a bit tricky is when they make people jump around.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I think it's tricky. Because it's, I don't want to call it you're lying, but it's manipulative in a way where these guys who are already weak and vulnerable, who are coming for your help, you're making them jump and hug, and they get this rush of adrenaline. What happens to them 48 hours when this adrenaline goes? Are these holes being filled? Or they're just going to leak out, then I go to the next fix, more water, leaks out. Nobody's teaching them to mend these holes.
Last year, I studied with Lisa Nichols when she was in town. She's very popular in the US, and she's slowly starting to come to be popular here in the Emirates. So I've taken a 2 days masterclass with her, and I am in touch with the people. We were 150 people who studied with her. I am in touch with all those people, and I do see that not much has changed. They haven't implemented the principles and the lessons that she taught in those 2 days. Number one. Number two, motivational speeches are very, very useful in organizations, because the kinesthetic experience of jumping, touching, hugging, I love you, no, I love you more, let's go do it, you're great. That gives you a state of connection.
I felt the energy there, I really did.
Good. That was the idea. But Omar, you too, not only Nur.
Nice.
Pass it on.
Can I just
meant to say I'm inclusive.
No, listen, I love Andrea's energy and everything else. But honestly, for me personally, I don't like it when we have to jump around in an event in a workshop. And I think the one big place that I went to, sorry to cut you off, is Tony Robbins. I flew half across the world all the way to San Francisco to go to his session. And I was super disappointed. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe. Well, thank God it was San Francisco, because at least I got to hang out in Union Square and stuff. Anyways, but the point is that activity, this particular activity, I personally, it doesn't work for me. But yeah. I'm sure for other people it does work.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Andrea, I love when I see her videos. Like, she dances on the video. I couldn't do that. I cannot do that. Like, for me, I'll do it myself. Well, if I'm in a club or if I'm in a concert or something, but I couldn't do it like in a workshop in front of people.
It's
but
so
I think it's
good.
Also it's different. It's a cultural thing, maybe. I don't know. It's many different things. But I know, like, I know my audience. If I did that to my audience, at first they probably shoot me in the head. Two, they probably would never speak to me again. Like, or there'll be all sort of defamation on my, you know. But it works different for everybody. Again, this is what I'm saying, Anas. It's not, and you said it yourself, it's not one size fits all.
Yes.
So for Andrea's audience, very different, perhaps, from my audience and from Noor's audience.
Mm. Yeah, fair.
It works different.
Yes, Shukran. Yeah. Next time we're going to do a video, you're going to dance.
Never.
Although you're an amazing dancer.
No.
So what was your point? Yes.
There are four types of speakers. Informational, the teachers.
Yeah.
Motivational, inspirational, and transformational. Lisa Nichols, Tony are transformational speakers. They have spoken for so long, when I sat next to Lisa Nichols, I felt something very, I felt like she was a prophet. Something in the way she breathes, something in the way she looks. And it must be the fact that she has been talking for the last 30 years, and I think she's channeling. Channeling means you trust what you feel and you just say it. And many, many people are touched when those words land on them. So motivational speakers, the point was that when you have that experience of jumping, you change your state. And for many people, it works because they feel there is a switch that goes on. And this kinesthetic experience of touching and hugging and then listening to those words will be like a battery shock. I'm sure you guys are driving and, you know, maybe you helped somebody or somebody helped you. So the motivational speech gives you this reboot, discharge, and then you're good to go for the next month or for the next 90 days. There is an average of lasting for 90 days. And then if you are a motivational speaker, you have contracts with the company to go at least two or three times a year to do these sessions with the teams and to give them some energy. So they are very useful in organizations. For consumers, when you go to Tony or to Lisa, some people feel fantastic and they take that energy and they use it. Some people like you, it doesn't touch me, doesn't do anything to me.
But we're still not answering.
To what?
How are we hoping or aiming
to
fix these holes? He's coming, he's getting excited.
A healer.
Sure. It's physiological learning, right? Somebody will argue with me like, Anas, no, when you make people jump, they will remember it more because it's touching.
It's okay. anchoring.
But the hole is there. That's what I'm trying
true,
to say.
True.
I feel like, just like how when you go to a psychiatrist or a therapist, what they do is they try to help you figure yourself out. Mm. They tell you what you are, what's going on with you. They are reflecting as a reflecting mirror to you. And they give you a perspective. They may give you tangible methods to follow. I think that is a long-term transformation. Whereas I agree with Andrea that there is that moment of hype and spike of motivation that can help during that day, during that hour, during that moment. But for a long-term transformation, that awareness that you give to someone of what is going on with them and stories of other people's experiences and how they dealt with it, information on what happened in the past and how this can change for them, that type of awareness, again, because awareness is one of the best things. I say we're all blessed that there's something called awareness, that we can have awareness. So if you make someone aware and informed, I think that is a long-term transformation.
I love what Noor said. I want to share a small story. Anas, I told you that I was going to say this, and then Anas was like, I was on the phone with Anas, and he's like, no, Amr, don't say anything now. Wait till the show, and then tell me in the show. I'll tell you in the show. I once spoke at an event, okay? And there's one thing, first of all, to all these agents out there, they keep introducing me as a motivational speaker. I always say I am a speaker. Whether you're motivated or not, that's subjective. Like, I'm not. I never once did I say I'm an inspirational speaker or a motivational, nothing. Because that's very subjective to everybody. So, I mean, there are people here, some of them could care less about what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
Thank God I said fuck for the first time. Anyways, the point is, but well, you told me I can say it.
Yeah, I can, oh, okay. Of course. Okay, I'll say it with you soon.
So the point is, Anas, what happened is that event, there was a guy, okay, and as you know, so when people tell me, okay, and you know, my book is called Just Read It. Yeah. Why did they call it that? Because I don't know what it would do for anyone. I wrote it at a time when I was like, it was the worst, one of my worst times in my life. Actually, the worst time in my life was my wedding day, but fine, we'll move on. That's another story. We have to have a session. Now we got to do
that. Larori.
Okay, anyways, the point is, when I was at this event, someone asked me, they said, he came up to me with somebody else and he's like, I see that you wrote a book, a motivational book and whatever, yeah? I was like, yeah, that's where the book, you can take a look, you can take a look at it, just see if it does or not. You know, I just wrote a book, I don't know if it motivates you or not. Then he asked me, he's like, what did you study? I told him marketing at the American University in Dubai. He's like, okay, what do you do? I told him, that time I worked at the tourism authority. He's like, okay. So he's like, how old are you now? I told him, at that time, I think I was around 27, 28 years old, okay? So he's like, so this is the question. He's like, what qualifies you, I was talking to Noor about this. It's like, what qualifies you to be a motivational speaker? Like, what did you go through so much? Do you have a qualification in self-help? Do you do psychology? Did you do like, I thought it was the most ridiculous question in the world, but I still, trust me, Anas, dealing with those kind of questions, I still entertain it because of everything else in life. This is where my smile comes up again. I'm like, because my smile is not that it's a happy smile, it's a pity smile. But also at the same time, I don't judge entirely because you don't know, again, I told you their trauma, what they come from, or what holes they already have, to answer your question. So when he asked this question, the only way I could respond, I said, listen, everybody has one thing in common. We all go through life. Some of us have very nice, rosy stories. Some of us have whatever, challenging ones. You know, when I graduated from high school, I had to work and study. When I joined university, when I was in AUD, I was a full-time employee going to work from 8 till 4 and go to university from 5 to 10 p.m. It took me 6.5 years to graduate from there. Everybody thought I was going to have kids and grandkids in that freaking university. I was always there. Everybody, oh my God, you're still here? But anyways, my point is, that was one out of so many other things that I mentioned earlier that I went through that, at that point, this is why I wrote it. And actually, if anything, Anas, I never wanted to do the speaking on stage. It wasn't the thing that I wanted to do. Like, as opposed to like how Noor was advised.
No, I was advised, but it was never something.
Yeah, she didn't want
to
do it.
Yeah, when life, pushes you to a certain way, even though it wasn't planned, that's when you know that that's your purpose.
Okay, so then I didn't want to do it, but I was forced to by government organizations to go to school and say, Umar, go and speak to the kids and whatever. Then one of the things that used to annoy me is because I would go there and remember, like, as you mentioned earlier in the question, is like, how do you keep people motivated? Because they probably have that one session at that time where they're motivated and then it disappears. So for me, one of the things that helped me with learning things is like reading and having something documented. At least you document when someone speaks if you want to try to remember. It's proven also scientifically that it helps. So I would tell the students in class, like, why don't you take down notes as I'm... So one of the girls, and every time she sits in the front, she's like, we like to listen to you speak, but we don't like taking notes. Why don't you write a book? I was like, you know what? Fine. If that's the reason, that's the reason I wrote it. It wasn't because I wanted to. Since then, everybody's like, oh, where's your second book? I wasn't interested. And actually, I'm thinking also started writing the second book, which, you know, it's called Why Jobs Are for Robots and Life is for People, only... to satisfy why people are asking me why the hell am I not writing the second one. But it's not really something new. For me, this is what I like. Conversations on the go, meeting people, trying out new things. Like, this is what I like.
I didn't really know that about your story. Although when he launched his book, I bought many and I gave it to my friends out of support. I loved his energy. And the book is really, really easy to read and fun. And just read it. I want to tackle a bit into a deeper level how to close these leaks because I've done it for myself and I am guiding certain people to do it. And I'm sure everybody knows Transformers, the movie Transformers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, when I've watched the last movie, I was having kind of an experience, and I said, what if the guy in the transformer is my soul, my spirit, and this gigantic machine is my body? And then coming back to the leaks, deep thinkers. It's good when you dance, you become deep. So I become
Oh my God.
This leak, so I want to share a few of mine. I had alopecia. I lost my hair twice, and I was modeling, and that was devastating. I had acne all over my body at least two or three times, so it was very difficult to feel confident or beautiful. And they were all caused by stress. Whenever I would see a mother playing with her children, tears would come out, or a father with kids. I would just tear up, just like that. So the wounds are making themselves visible quite strongly. So I've surrounded myself with healers with whom I'm in touch until now, 4 or 5 years. I work with them constantly, constant work. Yeah, there is no motivational talk you go to and you're good to go, you're fixed. You really have to give yourself you have to create this environment to heal yourself. But coming back to the transformer and to the leaks, when you look in the mirror and you open yourself like this and you say, you know what? I feel insecure. You know what? I don't like my body that much. When you do the mirror work and you say, I don't like that I haven't been dating in the last 3 years, or I can't get girls out, or I can't get to a date. When you become sincere with the things that really trouble you, you make peace with the fact that you have a human experience and you are meant to witness this scenario, but it's a scenario as Anas, as Omar, as Noor, as Andrea. And you dissociate yourself like this, like the person in the Transformers, and you look at the Transformer, the machine going through the world, losing the father, taking care of the sister, doing the homework, working hard, transform her life. But you are the soul, and you realize that this person, Anas, is going through all this. But you constantly can choose how to act.
And the leaks...
You simply accept them and love them. You say, I am intelligent, I am young, I am sexy, I'm smart, and I come with these insecurities. Yalla, we are all together. All it's me. So you can, through this dialogue, accept everything that you are, imperfection, perfect, whatever, however you are, perfect or strong, embrace it and hug yourself like I hug myself in the morning.
I love what you said. I'd like to expand on it in that when we get in touch with our insecurities, another thing that helps us really accept them is believing that we need them to grow. So once you believe that I am insecure, or I have this weakness and I need this weakness to build in this area, because let's say, for example, one of my weaknesses, let's say someone's weakness is they are overthinking or they analyze too much. If I wasn't an analyst in this area, if I wasn't an overthinker, then I wouldn't have done this. If I didn't have this weakness, I wouldn't have built this. So we need to believe somehow and try and search where these weaknesses actually helped us in life, where they made us grow, where they made us...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
thank you.
Instinct, awareness. What they said, mom.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up with a very important question. And you can take your time. You don't have to answer. But I need a honest fucking answer. There you go.
Yes.
Really. Like, really give me a good thought answer. Don't give me a stupid answer. Give me a formal
pressure.
Answer.
But we don't even have stupid answers.
Not everybody has stupid answers.
I don't know about everybody.
My point is,
love your confidence, girl.
Think. If you don't have the answer, tell me, honest, I don't know.
Yalla.
Okay. Shoot. It's a very simple question. You probably asked yourself this question, and I hope you did.
Why are you here?
But I know what you do. You're close. I know what you do. The whole world apparently knows what you do because you put it in your bios, in your books, in your bio on Instagram. We know how you do it, whether it's a lecture or a book or a video, an IGTV video. Why?
Anna, I want to start first.
I really want to know why the hell you feel obliged or driven to reach out and say your words, whether somebody thinks they're magical or silly or they connect or they don't. Why do you have this drive to just do what you do? What's driving you? When people are saying, "Ah, طاع متحجبة غصب وتتفلسف علينا." Oh, طاع هذا دائما مبتسم. Oh, look at Andrea acting like she knows it all. When you hear all of this shit,
yeah,
and all the negativity that comes with, because it comes, whether it's behind our backs or in front, it's there. But why do we still stay on that line?
Anas, I read, alhamdulillah, the Holy Quran every day. My answer is in the Quran. That's why I do what I do.
Which is what's the answer?
To do exactly this. Which to motivate, to be good, to be humble, to be kind. Every single day I read it, and every day Surah I get the message. Every surah, or any surah, I get the message from God.
Like, why does Umar feel obliged to write a book? Because so many people think, I want to write a book.
But again, I just told you. For me,
that's his motive.
That's my moral compass. Like, my moral compass is derived from the holy book. And I believe that we have the prophets, messenger, all of us are messenger. We all have a message to try to make the world a better place, right? So for me, doing this, I get that from reading the book. And it tells me, this is what you need to be doing. But this is why it's so strong for me. Like, I know I say to you, but for me, it's super strong for me. I resonate with it every single day.
And
that's why I do it.
And when Umar has such a high purpose, elevated, like higher than every other thing, the higher you go in a plane, the smaller everything looks in the world. And when his purpose is that high,
yeah,
he's going to be so driven.
But isn't having such a high generic calling or purpose just too broad? You don't know, it's not accurate.
Do you have an idea how long it took him to build this?
No,
there you go.
Long time.
We've known each other for 5 years now, and yeah, there hasn't been once when I call him and he hasn't answered or lifted me or immediately took the initiative to say, do you know these people? Do you know that people? And he is known in the community as Nokia connecting people. And he has been like this at least since I know him.
Yeah. Awan, can I ask you a question? Because I relate to you so much. Okay. It's crazy.
I can feel every time she's there. Really? Why is he answering? Because right. she has the answer.
When you think of that purpose, what is the main intention you have?
I want to die with people remembering me in a good way.
Can I leave and he like talks about something?
No, seriously.
I relate absolutely.
You know what, Anas? I can't. I can't tell you the other thing. It's definitely not on camera. We'll talk about it off camera. But there's no way that I can mention this. But I will tell you.
Can you whisper?
Yeah, later.
Okay. It's your other why? That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say it here.
No way.
Okay. I respect that. Well, that's a big why.
I'm so
But
curious.
All I can tell you, if people be like, whatever, there's two things. Sometimes you dream and sometimes you see a vision. And I had a vision at a very young age. And that's it. Ever since, it changed me.
Okay.
Oh,
Andrea, you wanted to say your why?
I don't know any other way of being than excited and joyful. And I have been attacked when I was presenting events. Yeah, I mean, sure, are you a clown? What is this? Always happy. And I was like, what's wrong? And first I realized that because I haven't been able to be a child and play when I was younger, I became a young adult at 8. I am taking a sweet revenge and I'm being more playful. And in doing so, as I teach and I coach, I ignite the inner child in other people as well. Because when the inner child is on and is alive and kicking, we are more creative, we speak better, we are more persuasive because we are more in touch with all parts of us. So there's no other way of me to be than to listen to these impulses. And just, I find myself in the house writing, working, and then I feel the impulse of an idea, I take the phone and I post, or I create video ideas and then I go and I shoot them for my YouTube channel. And also, I've part of my healing process was following family constellation therapy. And I heard there that you are your ancestors' wildest dream. If you believe in the army of thousands and thousands of people behind all of us, they've passed us on the baton. Now, now, today, in this interview, in this moment, I represent all of them.
Amen.
So how dare I to be down, depressed, sad, procrastinating when they are looking and saying, girl, we've been to war. We didn't eat. We were slaves. God knows what they were. And you are now alive. Please represent. Yeah. Please live. Please make love. Please be joyful. Be excited. Be famous. Make money. Go on another show. Do all that.
Andrea, that's why the word Arabic, in Arabic, qabila, qabail, tribe. Those who are before you, God says, and we created you as tribes, so that we can always remember that tribe, qabail, means that you are always relating to those that
came before you.
Yep. Mm. So and I had Anas, somebody told me exactly what Andrea just mentioned now, like ancestors. They told me something about you. And I mean, I know my ancestors and I know my tribe, Balbu Sa'idi, and I know the history and its empires. And I have a family tree since 1871.
Wow.
But, and I know who they were, my forefathers and what leadership positions they had. I was like, I feel exactly that obligation to represent. You know, when they say you got to represent, you are, you got to represent every person. I always say this all the time. Everyone is an ambassador. The moment you leave your house, you are an ambassador for your family, your country, your faith, everything. Like the moment you come out, you have a duty to represent the best qualities. And when I see yourself, when I see your son, you see your brothers, I see your mom, it's consistent. All of you are like, you just, you know, there's that brand identity of just great people. People love. So this is what I'm saying. This is what I think drives all of us when the moment we get out of the house.
When but you are connected, when you are connected with that.
Exactly. Do you think that can be added pressure on somebody who's like, you know,
I was
what,
just
going to
say
this.
That. I was going to say those people.
I don't
people,
care what they think.
Those people
of me.
Going by life, waking up every day, going to their 9-to-5 job, just doing their job right, going back home, spending time with family and sleeping, those people are doing a perfect thing.
Yeah.
They're doing just what they need to do.
But that's
life.
What I said. Everybody has a different purpose. This is what I'm saying. Everybody has. So the three of us are here on your show because we are in the field. We know that this is part of our purpose, or it's completely our purpose, and this is why we're here.
Yeah.
And we are telling you why we are not fake,
and
why this is real. This is why it works for us.
So your ancestor is your why? Is that okay? You said two things.
Yes.
You said also your inner child that didn't live a childhood.
Yes.
Is now being
alive,
childlike, and alive, and enjoying their childhood. So you're growing. While you're teaching, you're enjoying your childhood while you're teaching.
1,000%.
And it's a very creative way.
That's why I dance.
So is that your why, the childhood or the ancestor?
Both. I feel that I'm giving room to my child to play, and people enjoy it very much because you get the information, but yet it's easygoing. So people love to learn through entertainment. And when I got exposed to family constellation as a therapy, and I heard the saying that you are representing your ancestors and you are their wildest dreams. I remember how they are behind me. They are somewhere in this cosmos, in this universe, but I am them because they are in my DNA. So I respect that. I respect and I have reverence for life.
Madame Noor.
Okay, it was actually very transitional for me. I never planned this. I never thought or had a dream that I wanted to have a voice to help out people. I knew I was passionate about it deep down, but it was never a long-term thing for me. I literally, as a child, I was like, I want to be a pharmacist. And then I grew up in high school. I was like, I want to become a medical lab technician because I like the whole chemistry, and then chemistry just didn't click. That was God's plan. So many things. I wanted to study psychology. It was just so many different things. And then when I was going through that transition and I became self-aware, I found out that nothing gave me a sense of purpose more than knowing that my voice is somewhere out there helping in someone else's growth. That was my sense of purpose. That was something that made me feel like there's no greater sense of purpose I can feel in this life. Okay. That's why.
You have something to say?
The court has spoken.
We've passed our hour, by the way, which is good.
Yeah.
We are fired up.
Yeah, and we still have a lot more to go.
Maybe part two one day.
Yeah.
Do I have anything to say, please? If any of you feel they missed a point that you want to convey, I'll give you this.
Anna, very quickly, I want to mention, because I respect this country, I've been living here for the last 16 years. Emirates has been my second home, and I developed here. Number one, the culture, the power, the ambition of this city has naturally motivated me, because how can you think small or be small or not, or just pass by in a city that has the highest, the tallest, the biggest, the it's in the air. It's impossible not to feel it.
I moved from Canada to Dubai because of this. Yes.
I came in 2004 because I saw the photo of Burj Al Arab, and I was just drawn like a magnet. I just wanted to see Burj Al Arab, and then I said, of course I'm going to stay here. Not in Burj Al Arab, a little bit next door.
Next door.
And because I respect this country, so I know that you are all coming from tribes, and you are very connected with the world, and there is a massive respect. Mm. So before I discovered the idea of the tribe, before I discovered the history and the connection that Arab people have with the tribe, I had a particular lady who, in one session, when she told me, I'm afraid I have this speech, I have to go and speak in front of a big congress, I could see she was restless, and I had only one session with her because she was traveling. I said, what can I do, what can I do? I said, can you tell me your name? And she said, for example, Anas Bukash. I said, can you say Bukash like all your people are there? And she starts saying it 2, 3, 4 times. I'm like, just connect with your name and say it with pride. The rehearsal went perfect. Hmm. And later on, I said, after she had a good delivery and she, mashallah, she was very good, I said, what happened? What helped from the session? She said, the way you asked me to say my name with pride ignited a fire, ignited a confidence in me that I wanted to make my father, my grandfather proud. Mm-hmm. Because already you have a connection with the tribe.
Yeah.
So that's incredible, also for extra motivation for some people.
Sure. Anything else?
My final comment, sir, is a quote by Steve Martin. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. Hmm.
Okay. No.
I'd like to pass on a message to people.
Sure.
Of the quote I live by, which is, God's plan is better than mine. So be patient, because a lot of people are not patient now because they go through struggles and they feel like it's not going their way. But they need to understand that there's a bigger plan for them that God has that is a lot better than theirs. So be patient and wait for that plan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Can guys go?
Thank you, Alan.